back, everybody. 23rd episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 253. It's your week 14 fab, everybody. Around the corner we go, halfway through the season. We'll get you ready for this week's fab and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/ Bubba Bloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Man, you're tongue-tied, and it's only your first episode of the day. I don't know, man.
Slacking.
Expect better from you. No, I'm doing good. I had the day off today, so took the family down to the coast. Beautiful. For the day. Great weather up here, so enjoyed that. Got back, took a little nap. You're not going to like to hear that, but...
No, I'm not.
A little nap. Woke up, little Celsius, show prep, dinner, and here I am with you. So it's been a great day.
Well, I'm going to let you carry the show tonight. So then you're the rested one. This is good. Yep. No, congrats. It's been really nice weather on the West Coast these days. And the rain hopefully leaves the Midwest and East Coast here soon enough. It's been some weird weather. But yeah, glad you got to enjoy that up there and see how work feels on Friday with no nap and everything for you. Yeah, old man.
Back to the grind. Had a beer at Pelican Brewery, which is I mentioned on one of our Patreon only episodes, one of my favorite breweries in the country. So it was all good. It was all good.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely amazing. I'm so happy for you. That's a great day that you had there. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you've got one coming up on Saturday. So
yes, Gigantes, Red Sox, Rafael Devers. Very excited about that. Rafael Devers probably sits for the first time since being a Giant. I think they can't sit him versus the Red Sox. No, he can sit on Monday. He can't sit this weekend. That's not happening. That's just not allowed in the contracts. All right. Now, a couple news and notes here, and then as usual, we'll go team by team. Get you ready for the week 14 fab week ahead. I want to talk to you about Cole Reagans, my friend. Cole Reagans got his second opinion. Results came back. They confirmed the rotator cuff strain. They're going to shut him down for 4 weeks. He's already been shut down for 2 weeks. So he has two more weeks of being shut down. Then he's going to get reevaluated, potentially starts ramping up. Best case scenario, we're looking at probably early August if nothing goes wrong. So I'm asking you, where are you at on holding or dropping Cole Reagans?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're trained to think that all second opinions are immediate, like Tommy John. I guess this was a neutral second opinion. Like you said, it confirms a rotator cuff strain, which is still not good. Like it's still not good. I think where I sit with Reagans is I still want to hold for at least a couple more weeks, maybe until the All-Star break, which isn't that far away. That's maybe 3 weeks out. Have a much clearer timeline and go from there. But I think it's still a little too early unless you're totally desperate for health. And some teams are, but like Reagans was dropped in two main events this past weekend. I think unless you're desperate, you hold on for a little while longer and see. Like, what would you, I'll throw this back at you. Like, I've got Michael King in a couple leagues where there's just no information. Like, at least with Cole Reagans, you're getting information. Michael King is just like throwing every now and then, but no real progression. If you had to pick one rest of season to drop, who would you drop first?
I'd drop Michael King first. He's throwing with a plyo ball. He's not even throwing with a baseball right now. It's one of the most bizarre injuries on the face of the planet with Michael King. I would drop King, so that probably means everybody should drop Reagans instead. But I have shares of both. Both's hanging out on my rosters. And I'm going to have to start making some tough decisions. Like, in a perfect world, those are my stashes, if I can hold as long as possible. But we're getting close to the end. Like I said, this fab week, we're past the halfway point. So it's time to start making those really, really tough decisions if you haven't yet.
Agreed.
All right.
Yep. Especially with pitchers, because if they come back in August, there's a ramp-up time. We don't know what they're going to look like. And then, hell, they might get shut down again in September. Like, it's just, it's tricky.
Yeah, it's like, the one's minor setback, you have to drop them. Are they going to be as good as they were before? There's a million questions involved there, and you could be using that spot to stream guys and maybe strike gold at some point in time, and that would really suck. Speaking of striking gold, this did not happen for those that drafted Christian Campbell to start the season. As we found out on Thursday, Ryan, Christian Campbell is headed back to AAA to get his mind right, potentially. I don't expect this to be a long time in AAA unless he just can't figure it out, of course. But to me, it just feels like, okay, go take a week or two, Go figure it out. We're going to have you back up with Meyer and Anthony and company. Like, we made these trades. You guys are our future. They extended him to start the season, for crying out loud. He actually got paid. So they want him up in the bigs. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Christian Campbell. It's been bad. We talked about him as a potential drop already in the Gene Segura show. So speaking of which, thanks, everybody, for the Gene Segura show. But, yeah, any thoughts on Christian Campbell?
One of the few Gene Segura All-Stars who has not woken up since we've done the show. Today was like a banner day for a lot of Gene Segura All-Stars. So that's one thing. Christian Campbell, yeah, I think, as we talked about on Tuesday, probably pretty safe to drop, especially now. Just don't know when he's going to be back in. David Hamilton. It's David Hamilton time if you need steals at second base. Don't know if Hamilton will play against lefties. That's still to be determined. Boston gets four righties next week to two lefties. They go at Anaheim and then they host Toronto. So David Hamilton, if you're desperate for bags, I just don't know what else he brings to the table, but I do think Hamilton's going to get at least the bulk of the playing time at second base.
Yeah. Hamilton's had some life in the past. So that's an interesting one to see how that plays out if all things are done. But yeah, you can drop Campbell, maybe take a bid when he comes back. Maybe he goes Maximus Muncy, I should say, to help differentiate between the two, and returns playing much, much better. Time will obviously tell on that one, but yeah, you can probably move on from Christian Campbell at this point in time. Another very interesting demotion, I guess, is the proper terminology, but sent back to AAA was Emmett Sheehan of the Dodgers. Sheehan makes his debut, looks great, considering he hadn't pitched since he had Tommy John surgery. It's been quite a while. And then they send him down for some bullpen help on a team that needs starting pitching help. So apparently Ben Kasperis is probably ready to go in the rotation for now, is my only guess, but this was a surprise, to say the least.
Yeah, this didn't make a ton of sense. I guess Justin Wroblewski maybe gets at least some type of bulk role or gets a little bit longer leash as well. I was all ready to talk about Emmett Sheehan as a fab target this weekend, and that's obviously not the case because she cannot come back up unless someone goes on the IL for, I believe, 10 days. So I don't understand the move, but I also have no idea what's going on in the LA front office. They are smarter than me. But this was a head scratcher for sure. I did not expect this.
Most definitely. Another one here, Gabriel Moreno heads to the IL. They called up Aramis Ramirez to back up Herrera at catcher. Moreno's dealing with a hand injury. It's kind of been bugging him for a while, and now he's finally hitting the IL. I wanted to just bring this up more importantly because Adrian Del Castillo did not get called up because this is why I figured this would be a question. He's still kind of building his way back up because he was injured a lot to start the season. So he's not like fully ready to rock and roll behind the plate. They need someone behind the plate to help out at catcher right now.
Okay. Cause I was going to ask where your guy is. He's witness protection at this point. Not interested at all in Jose Herrera. It's a 27% strikeout rate with zero barrels over 101 plate appearances. I think the analysis can stop there. So even if you're in two catcher leagues, I'm not going for Jose Herrera. And I also then don't think Aramis Garcia, I mean, it's just going to be a backup catcher. So no backup catchers pretty much are rosterable.
And the last thing I wanted to bring up before we do our weekly preview, Ryan, is congratulations, Jack Caglia-Dong, double donged on Thursday. So now through his first, 2 weeks of the season, he has as many home runs as Kyber Ruiz on the year. So I wanted to throw that out to you. Very, very impressive for your big man on Thursday.
Yeah, thanks. He was mentioned as a and rightfully so, a Gene Segura All-Star in our Discord on for the Tuesday show. And one of many that woke up. That was awesome to see. The first home run was up by his shoulders off a lefty too, which was super. I think it was like 106 miles an hour, 110. So I think Jack will be just fine. I'm not going to make a bad joke.
Yeah, no, I have to stop myself every time we talk about him. But yeah, his second
one. We were workshopping what to call his home runs in the Discord today. I think we came up with Caglia-Dong, which
there's a lot of off-putting jokes you could probably put out there when it comes to Jack. So decided to stay away from that. But his second was like 440 feet to right center, just absolute tank job. It was glorious, very glorious. So him and Nick Kurtz now, it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes throughout the season because that's going to be the comp to be made.
Yep.
All right, my friend, let's get to it. Week 14, Fab preview. When you pull things up here, what are we looking at this week?
All right. More of the same here, but in terms of like a macro level, you've got the Rays. It is kind of like a one week it's all home, 1 week it's all away. The Rays are all away this week.
The Rays, they share a ballpark.
Are all away this week because, they are sharing a ballpark with at least the A's, a AAA team. Coors is three at home against the Dodgers, and then the Rockies go to the road at Milwaukee. No five-game weeks, as has been the case all season. Your seven-game teams are the Minnesota Twins, Seattle Mariners. Both of those are righty-heavy schedules. Atlanta Braves are seven. Mets are seven. They play each other for four games. That's always fun. The Cubs get seven. Cardinals, seven. They also play each other for four games, so you love that. And those are all your seven-game teams this week, so... Yeah.
And let's not forget, you also get a full week in Great American Small Park. So
that's the other team to check with parks, right? Yeah. So you do get the full week with Cincinnati.
All right. Let's go team by team per usual. We'll start with the Baltimore Orioles. There are six games all at home this week, three against Texas, three against Tampa, one lefty and five righties, which bodes well for no one on the waiver wire, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I've been saying this every week, but I still like Ramon Laureano. He's still hitting pretty well. I still don't know when Tyler O'Neill is coming back. I think this is the third week.
Tyler O'Neill.
The guy just went MIA. I feel like this is the third week I'm saying that.
He got shut down.
He did? He got shut down.
Jeez. His shoulder's still not responding.
Okay. Well, then that makes Ramon Laureano even more attractive as someone who I thought you were maybe renting for 2 weeks or something. Still hitting fourth through sixth in that order, which will definitely work. Cedric Mullins is back. There's that. Do you know who is now a centerpiece in the Baltimore Orioles rotation, Bubba?
Yeah, I almost messaged you yesterday, but I didn't want to ruin it for you because he only threw two and a third innings out of the rotation. Is that who you're referring to, this lefty? One of your favorite guys that came in a blockbuster Kyle Stowers and Connor Norby trade?
Yeah, Trevor Rogers is back. Two-step next week. Let's go.
Oh, who do we get to target offensively here? He gets Texas and Tampa
and Road Rays.
Yeah,
you're not doing it. I am joking. Yes. Do not pick up Trevor Rogers, please.
Yes, do not do it. Just enjoy what you have and walk away is the best way I can put that one.
Yep.
All right, let's head to Boston. They have six games this week: three at the Angels, three at home versus Toronto. Two lefties and four righties on tap for you this week. But if you break it down even more, the series versus the Angels, two lefties, the series versus Toronto, all righties, if that makes any difference for you, Ryan. What do you like with Boston?
I mean, not much. So we talked about David Hamilton at the top. I do think David Hamilton is a decent pickup if you need bags. It is a very friendly schedule for the Red Sox, right? It's a 10.5% strikeout minus walk for the starting pitchers going against Boston this week, so you like that. If you need bags, David Hamilton's a decent pickup middle infield. Just watch, like you said, Bubba, that first half of the week with two lefties, is David Hamilton going to play there? So let's see if Hamilton plays against lefties this weekend. But that's really the only name that I mean, we've mentioned Abraham Toro past couple shows. I feel like he's starting to get picked up, but you could go there if he's still around.
22% in 12s.
That's pretty low.
Yeah.
I also don't think he's that great. Like, I think this is just a really good heater and he's going to turn back into Abraham Toro. But for now,
to your point, it's a good hitting schedule. So maybe take advantage of it while you can, see where it goes. Other than that, not a lot offensively you can get too excited about on this one. As Vic Caratini just hit another home run. My God. Other than that, there's not much. Like, Giolito's pitching really well again. So if he's still somehow available, go for it. Yep. Other than that, not a whole lot to like there in Boston. New York Yankees, six games this week, three in Great American Small Park. Maybe the struggling Yankees offense can wake up there. And three at home versus the A's, two lefties and four righties. Anything of interest for you with the Yanks?
One thing I'm going to say
about Boston. Sorry, I should have said this. They flat out said Masataka Yoshida is going to have his rehab pushed fast so he can come and start DHing right away with the Red Sox. So if that interests anybody for any reason, keep an eye on that. But he could be joining the fold in Boston soon.
Okay. I like that. Going back to the – and he would be UT only, though.
Yes, UT right? only.
He's UT yes. last year, so for a bunch of teams, you actually cannot pick Yoshida up. But if you have a UT spot, I don't mind Yoshida. He's been good in the past. Hasn't been good lately, but there could be some life there. Yankees, it's not total. It's not really Fab related with pickups. I just want your thoughts on the Luke Weaver, Devin Williams. I don't know if you, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's just like if you have Devin Williams, obviously if Luke Weaver is available in your league, you can pick him up. But like if you have Devin Williams, at least prepare for the possibility you may need another closer. I just don't know what's going to happen with Luke Weaver. They are fast tracking Luke Weaver, who may be even activated on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. He's coming back tomorrow.
So. The Yankees are eager to get Weaver back. So we will have maybe we'll get a look or two this weekend of whether the Yankees get a save op and what happens there. But just saying, if you have Devin Williams, monitor that and see, and Luke Weaver and see what shakes out there.
Yeah, I just have a bad feeling Weaver takes over again because he was so dominant. But like Devin Williams on Thursday night came in a 4-run game and struck out the side. He's actually been really, really good since like kind of those early blowups since he got demoted. He's been very, very serviceable. He deserves to still close, but Weaver also does. That's the tough part here. I'd be cool with it being a committee. I'd be fine with that. I don't know if that's what they're going to do there with Aaron Boone and company. So definitely worth watching. I would think if there's a save op Friday night, Weaver gets it just because Williams threw on Thursday night. So don't read too far into that. See what the whole weekend entails for the situation.
Good point.
Anything else on the hitting side? We have a question. We'll get to in a minute. But I want to
go Stanton. What are we doing with the elbow, man?
No, I think I can outrun Stanton right now.
I don't, but.
It'd be fun to see whose hamstring pops first.
Yeah, we could film it. That would get numbers.
It would get something.
We'll get something. I mean, anybody who's hitting cleanup in the Yankees lineup, like in between Judge, Bellinger, Jazz, like I just don't know if Stan, like he's already sat a game on Wednesday. Like I don't know. Like I would think the Yankees play Stanton very sparingly, but regular off days, and that's tough when you already don't know what you're going to get with Giancarlo Stanton. But I'm just throwing his name out there because he did return this week and thus will be available in many leagues.
3% rostered in OCs right now. He's util only, so remember that as well. But so I get it. I get your point to the conversation. I'm just like, hey, enjoy Great American, if anything. But they did say, like, hey, like you saw Goldschmidt get time off. They're going to do a lot of rotating around there, so that's the tricky part behind that whole situation. And like Joe Ree in the chat here says, what are your thoughts on the Rice Grisham situation going forward? Like Ben Rice has essentially been the backup catcher for the most part since Stanton came back, so that's cool. He's gonna get catcher eligibility, but he's definitely losing playing time there. Grisham has slowed down tremendously, so like I'd rather have Ben Rice over Grisham if I had to pick one. I don't like either situation right now.
Don't like either situation, at least until Ben Rice gets catcher eligibility. Again, Joe, your league may be different, but like, well, I think once Rice gets catcher eligibility, that's a really good second catcher. But if it's someone as like a corner infield, I just don't think the playing time is consistent enough. I think Ben Rice is pretty good, but you need playing time. You need regular playing time at non-catcher spots. And so unless that happens, I'm not too high on Ben Rice.
Yep, totally agree. All right, Tampa Bay Rays, they have 6 games this week, 3 at the Royals, 3 at the Orioles. 2 lefties, 4 righties for Tampa Bay. Anything standing out to you with this rotating crew?
Not really. I mean, this current week was a 7-game all righty week for the Rays. And so not so much this next coming week. I don't have much. Like Jake Mangum's hitting a little bit, but that's about it. I don't know. I don't have anything.
I'm just going to say, if you can stash a pitcher, start stashing Joe Boyle, please. Just do it.
Okay.
The dude is ridiculously good in AAA. Taj Bradley's, I'm not going to be too mean, just not good right now. Shane Boss has his struggles. A lot of these pitchers haven't thrown the innings, like neither has Boyle, to be fair. So eventually they'll have to call him up to do this. But Boyle has nothing else to prove at AAA right now. He needs to be in this rotation. And hopefully the Rays do it sooner than later. So Joe Boyle's the guy. If you can stash someone for a couple dollars right now, you better be stashing Joe Boyle.
A lot of Oregon Duck Green with Joe Boyle on the minor league leaderboards sheet that Patreon members get access to. It's a 32% strikeout rate. The walk rate, 10% for Joe Boyle in AAA this year. That's decent for him. You go one step deeper with Joe Boyle, it's a 37% ball rate. League average is 36. So again, if Joe Boyle can kind of stay league average with the control, the strikeout stuff has absolutely been there in AAA. Like you said, it does not have much to prove there. The other kind of number I'll throw out there with Joe Boyle that's on this minor league leaderboard is a 53% ground ball rate. So you get those strikeouts, you get those ground balls. If you can just keep the control league average, I think Joe Boyle could be good. And agreed, I think that's a decent stash. Like I would say, well, I don't know. We just don't know when Joe Boyle is going to be up. But like comparing him to what I was talking about earlier with like Michael King, Cole Reagans, like the injury stashes, it's interesting. I don't know where I stand there, but Joe Boyle could certainly be up very soon and doing things in your rotation.
Yeah, there's the Bubba Chandler conversation in that mix. Like, there's a lot of stashes. That
a lot of stashes. I've like given up on Bubba Chandler, man.
I feel like dropping him just. I feel like dropping him just so everyone else can reap the benefits of him getting called up, because I don't know what else to do with him right now. I'm not letting go. I've held on this long. I drafted him in these leagues, obviously. So. Very painful situation. Toronto Blue Jays, they have six games this week, three at Cleveland, three at Boston, one lefty, five righties for the Jays. Jays been mixing and matching their outfield situation. Not that you really want to roster most of these outfielders, just outside of Addison Barger, who's already well rostered. But anybody else that stands out to you here in a team that's actually doing a lot of, like I said, mixing and matching right now?
A lot of mixing and matching. I'll go to the rotation. I mean, Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer is coming back and could be in line for a two-step.
Maybe not.
Why not?
On Thursday, the day after his rehab start, he's still feeling pain in his bum. Yes.
Was he struck out eight in his last rehab assignment. He's ready to go.
Yeah. In the news notes, they'll be dropping later this evening.
Max at the Scherzer, beach all day, man. No.
They haven't dropped yet. I said after later this evening. Yet. Okay. The drop later this evening, he is still experiencing some pain in his thumb. They're going to see if it starts to subside here quickly. They're basically going to try to see if it's just normal pain or if it's the same problem. My theory is if he still gets pain, he's not supposed to return until he's 100% pain free, they said, right? So what are we doing here?
Yep.
Monitor the situation.
As usual, disregard what I just said there.
No, they still might bring him up. It's the problem. It's like 50-50 right now.
But even if they do, something's not right. Something hasn't been right with Scherzer, and obviously still isn't. So interesting.
I'm going to do my just usual Ernie Clement call because the dude just keeps
hitting. Oh, my God. Come on. We're over
there. Oh, my God. Ernie Clement. Do I have to bring stats up for this?
No. It was a good call. It's just I gotta hear Ernie Clement every week. What's he at?
38% rostered.
Yeah. Wow. Eligible at second, third.
I understand he's tough for a 12. I get it. But in June, he's hitting .356 with a home run. In May, at .306 with three home runs. Those don't suck, is my point. And that could definitely be serviceable on certain teams.
Yep.
All right, let's head to the AL Central, the Chicago White Sox. You got three against the D-backs, three against the Giants, all at home. Two lefties and four righties for the White Sox. I don't have a ton here. I'd say monitor Mike Tauchman, who's a little banged up, but he's supposed to be day-to-day and fine. So keep an eye on that. But he continues to be quasi-productive leading off.
Yes, agreed. I still think more of an OBP points league type. But, yeah, if you're in those formats, that works. I was another one who's kind of been beat up, but grand slam today was Andrew Benintendi. Yeah. I like Andrew Benintendi's skills. He is only, I think, 27% owned in NFBC 12 teamers. It's an 18% strikeout rate, which is really good. Bubba, 14% barrel rate, 19 barrels are. That's before today's grand slam. I don't know if that was a barrel, but like the guy is not striking out and he's making really hard contact and hitting in the middle of a lineup that, I mean, we talked about this last week. Like, I don't know if it's auto stream against anymore. Like, they're still below average, but not that bad.
They're pesky. Yeah. They're very pesky now. So. It's one of those now, like before you'd say, okay, all seven games or whatever, they're going to pretty much suck. Now you feel like two, maybe three games are at least going to be annoying enough not to like help you.
Right. Like, so, I mean, the litmus test for that is with these three Arizona games, the first two are probably streamers. Arizona's throwing E-Rod and Ryne Nelson, who pitched well today against the White Sox. Like,
why'd you leave Zach Gallen out of that mix?
Well, yeah, I think people are starting Gallen still.
Well, they shouldn't be, but yes, they are.
Gallen is 66%. Like, you're definitely, but like, you're definitely starting Gallen against the White Sox. I think. But are you starting Ryne Nelson and E-Rod?
Not as automatically as I would have before. That's for sure.
I think that's a fair. I think it's not an auto. You need to at least look at other options. So I don't know. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
No, that's a very good call. Are you going on Aaron Civale these days or no? Still out?
Oh, Jesus. I forgot he was on the White Sox. The White Sox said they're going to trade him again.
Yep, they should.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they should. That's why it's even crazier they gave up what they gave up now.
Yeah. No, I'm not. My Aaron Civale days. I was
five
young.
Innings,
I was
two young runs, then. Four walks, four Ks. No, okay.
Yeah, I was young and naive.
Yeah, we'll call it that. Cleveland Guardians. They have six games this week, all at home. Three versus Toronto, three versus St. Louis. Two lefties, four righties. For the Guardians, who it's just a yearly tradition where it's a boring, good offense.
Yeah. Though lately they've been, they've been okay. I don't have anything pickup wise for Cleveland that I see.
I don't either. Let me just check one number real quick. I'm assuming Ciccone's widely is up to 80% now. He's still striking out, dudes. If you need strikeouts, Ciccone's a guy to get. It's pretty plain and simple. He's had like one bad start so far, and the rest he's just getting at least a K per inning, if not more. So,
yep.
Definitely serviceable in that regards. Detroit Tigers, six games this week, all at home. Three versus the A's, three versus Minnesota, two lefties, four righties. It's a common trend so far, two lefties, four righties this week. What are we liking with Detroit? Another team that, for the most part, rolls out a very good lineup. But your boy Wensiel keeps crushing it, by the way.
That's who I was gonna shout out is Wensiel Perez. I know we've been talking about him for a while now, but Wensiel Perez is still only, I think he's 20%. Under 30%. Yeah, 20%. In NFBC 12 teamers. Wensiel Perez is hitting the crap out of it. He has a higher barrel rate than strikeout rate. That is extremely rare. Granted, it's only 62 plate appearances. This is a hot streak. Wensiel Perez is not this good, but he's certainly good enough to roll with in 12 teamers, I think, at least until he cools down. So yeah, I have a lot of Wensiel Perez and I'm happy I do. And I'm continuing to roll him out there. I even picked him up in my 10 team home league, my family league.
Recently. Look at you go.
It's working.
Very well done, my friend. Question for you, or I guess in, you know, it's not a question. Will Vest seems like he avoided anything serious. The Tigers haven't really had a save situation since that all took place, but I guess we avoided one there.
We did. Vest pitched today. Now I'm all hesitant to say anything that actually happened today. No, he did not pitch today. Oh, no, there was a doubleheader.
It was a doubleheader, yes. He
pitched in game two. So pitched today, didn't allow a run. That's a good sign that Detroit would at least throw him out there.
All right, we're going to backtrack to Cleveland real quick. So we have a question in the chat here. Joe Ree says, thoughts on Lane Thomas and Carlos Santana. I am pretty much not on either one of them.
I'm pretty much not on either one as well. Carlos, if you're in a 15-team...
picked up a steal this last week.
Wow, fleet of foot. I don't know. I thought Santana was your guy. You're shouting him out.
At the beginning of the season, he was. Sometimes you learn your lessons, Ryan. You learn your lessons in this league.
Lane Thomas, a brutal combo of no barrels and 91 plate appearances, a 30% strikeout rate, and two stolen base attempts all season. So, like, yeah, that's a Gene Segura for you.
Yes, he's definitely a Gene Segura. So they just keep playing him over Manzardo. So who knows?
Yep.
All right, let's head to Kansas City. Kansas City Royals, they have six games all at home this week, three versus Tampa Bay, three versus the Dodgers, all righties on tap for the Royals, which doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot when Max Muncy's not there. But what else do you like this week?
Not much, because this would be like a good lefty week to stream against all right-handed pitching, but it's like Drew Waters and John Rave. not interested there. Too bad the Mount Massey is on the IL. This would be prime Mount Massey time.
It's too bad that Noah Cameron has to face the Dodgers this week. That's a bummer, as he's locked into the rotation for now with Cole Reagan's out of the way. So, yeah, not a whole lot from Kansas City this week is what I will say.
You're not throwing that Noah Cameron start?
Well, I did tell you before the show, the Dodgers have started struggling versus lefties. Their WRC plus over the last month versus lefties is below 100. They're hitting like 247. They're looking like a mediocre offense right now. I just don't trust Noah Cameron that much. I'll be rooting for him, obviously. Those people know me. We'll be rooting, but not with my fantasy teams.
Dodgers were shut down tonight by Burgert. R. Burgert. Ryan Burgert. A fellow Ryan B. I think it's just temporary. Dodgers.
Let's hope it's not, but yes, I yeah. agree. All right, the Minnesota Twins, they have 7 games this week, 4 at home versus Seattle, 3 at the Detroit Tigers, 1 lefty and 6 righties on tap for the Twins. 6 righties used to mean a ton for us when we're talking Twins. Not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. Trevor Larnach and Matt Wallner are universally rostered. I don't have much outside of Brooks Lee, who continues to play and hit. And, you know, given the Royce Lewis injury, Brooks Lee's playing every day against lefties and righties, second or third base, kind of switching off there and doing quite well. So if you need kind of a hole to fill in deeper leagues, Brooks Lee, I think we talked about him last week too. It's just someone who had pretty good prospect pedigree, like didn't hit the ground running right away as a prospect. We see this all the time. Seems to be kind of putting things together here in his second full season. So I like the Brooks Lee call out. The playing time will at least be there in a 7-game week, and in deep leagues, that matters.
Yeah. I picked up Lee this past week in at least 1-15. I think he's got 12-team viability with that flexibility as well as a stream while the weeks are like this, like you mentioned. A deeper league play, I don't really trust him at a 12, but Cody Clemens with all righties on tap, he'll get to play pretty much every day. He had a home run on Thursday. He had a home run on Thursday. He's been in a minor slump since that hot streak. We kind of all expected that to happen. But again, homered on Thursday. He homered like 5 games ago. He's going to play every day versus, or almost every day versus righties. So in a deeper format, Clemens would be a streaming option as well.
He's flexible too, doesn't he? Play a bunch of spots? It's like
first base, second base, I think is what
it first, is. Second, and outfield.
Yeah, let's say I knew 2 of them because I have them in 15. So I knew there was the first and second, which is always like a what?
Yeah, so that, I mean,
it's the Twins, man. It's the Twins. Look at their roster. It's
they're all mascots. They're all mascot candidates.
That's where I was going with that. You have a bunch of them that just play all over the freaking diamond. It's wild. Other than that, are you getting in on Simeon Woods Richardson or no?
I was thinking something along those lines as well. The problem is, like, I don't love the Seattle matchup. But I think it's matchup based. Like the next start for Woods Richardson would be again at the Marlins. Like that. I would probably go for that. And I think Woods Richardson, I mean, at least for now, that he has a spot in that rotation going forward until people start coming back. And Pablo Lopez isn't coming back soon. Sounds like Zevi Matthews is not coming back soon. So I think Woods Richardson is going to get some run, but I don't think he's much more than a streamer, maybe a little bit better than that. But I'd be hesitant to go Woods Richardson against the Mariners this week.
I'm going to bring up Bailey Ober because most of us talked on the Discord about sitting him this week, and he got torched again in Cincinnati against Cincinnati. But now he gets a 2-step versus Seattle at Detroit. This is it's the make it or break it mea culpa, but I still don't know if I'm going to start him. So this is like the old theory. If you can't start him now, what are we doing?
That is that. And this is, I don't always believe in that theory, but I feel like with Bailey Ober, that might apply. I think I'm going to roll with Bailey Ober. I benched him everywhere in all my, especially like even 15 team tout mix with unlimited IL. Like that's you're in that league. It's a deep league. Still had better alternatives than what Bailey Ober was doing in Great American Small Park. I just don't think he's right. So no. I don't know. I'm probably starting with a 2-step, but I certainly get if you don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's wild. Just real quick on Bailey, 4.54 ERA. Dude's got a 4.60 Sierra, which you definitely did not sign up for when you went after Bailey. It's a 1.4 whip. He's usually a whip like machine for you.
Yeah.
12% K to walk. It's just, that's a disaster.
He's hurt. I think he's hurt.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I wouldn't be shocked.
Velocity's down from 91.7 last year to 90.4. Like, he's almost throwing in the 80s.
Which will not work at all.
Which, I don't know. I'm very concerned.
I'm with you. All right, let's head to the AL West. The Sacramento Athletics, as we mentioned earlier, hits the road. Six games, three at Detroit, three in the Bronx, two lefties, four righties for you here. And weirdly enough, not like, you know, Muncy's out there, but the ones you want to roster are actually rostered now in Sacramento.
Right, because you've got, Law Dog, Wilson, Soderstrom, Rooker, Kurtz, those guys are all rostered. We've talked the other Max Muncy the last couple of weeks, should be rostered. And then there's Austin Wins, who's been hitting okay as a catcher. Yep. I could see maybe going there. Luis Sirius and Denzel.
MacGyver had a combo meal MacGyver, tonight.
Yeah, MacGyver. MacGyver, combo meal. That's unbelievable. So I don't have much on the A's. It's a tough schedule. It's right. It's a 19% K to walk. It's Tarik Skubal. It's Flaherty. Those types. So it's not a great schedule for the A's. One guy I was going to throw out, I was mildly interested last week in Fab, was Mitch Spence. Didn't fare too well his last start out, but I look at the skills that we have in the starting pitcher planner. It looks pretty good for Mitch Spence. It's a 14% swing strike. That's above average. K to walk is 14. That's about average. He's throwing strikes. It's a 33% ball rate. So I'm interested. The next two are at Yankees and at Tampa, which I'm maybe not as interested in, but just a name to throw out there in 15 team starting pitcher pools.
Don't mind that. I'm going to go back to the well, a guy I talked about a couple of weeks ago that he proceeded to get lit up, but has pitched really great since then, is Jacob Lopez. He had that 7-run game against the Jays, 5 runs against Minnesota, but then 4 innings, no runs, 5 Ks against Baltimore Royals, 6 innings, no runs, 9 Ks, 8 more Ks over 6 innings against Houston on Thursday. And that's a 3 really strong starts in a row. Yeah. Gets Detroit this week, which is scary. But over the last 30 days, 284 average, 226 ISO, 141 WRC plus for lefties. So wanted to clarify that before we got too deep. That one's a little scary, but then he's got the 2-step at Tampa versus the Giants the following week, which has legs to me. So it's one of those, if you want to get him for cheap this week, don't start him versus Detroit, but you got a guy that could potentially, the way he's pitching, gets you at least 10 Ks, if not, you're talking 15 plus over a week span on that 2-step. That's massive upside right now in fantasy when we're looking for strikeouts. So I'd keep an eye on Jacob Lopez as well.
I think we all cast him aside, Jacob Lopez, with that one. It was that time where people were talking about Lopez's potential fab and then got blown up. It might have been a fab Sunday, and it's okay, I'm not touching this guy again. But good point. Quietly has been pitching well since then.
Yep. So something to keep in mind. We've talked about him before the show on that one. Houston Astros, 6 games, so 3 against Philly, 3 against Chicago, all in Houston. 3 lefties and 3 righties really puts a damper on things there.
Puts a damper on any kind of platoon advantage. I don't have anything on the hitter side. I should mention out Victor Carantini, but before you do, like you said, just homered tonight and is pretty much getting everyday playing time as a catcher between actual catching, DH, and first base. So I like that, Mr. Victor Carantini. He is in 12 teamers. 3% he's rostered and hitting pretty well. So,
yeah, I think I mentioned him last week because I brought back the old, this is what he did last year. He was available everywhere, and all of a sudden he's playing first base every day because guys were hurt and stuff. And he just quietly hits for a decent enough average with pop that as a catcher too, very good. Very better than Kyber Ruiz if we really want to get after it on this one. He's already got more home runs in the last 2 nights. So, he's got that going for him. So, yeah, Victor Caratini, 100% on board with you on that one. Otherwise, hitting-wise, there's not a ton. Cam Smith's waking up a little bit if you want to get on the Cam Smith train. Now, playing in Sacramento can do that. He was swinging it okay before that series, but he's still 92% rostered in 12. So people didn't fully give up on him. But just if you are rostering him and you're benching him or whatever, he is waking up. Jake Myers, if he's available, is playing really well. This Astros team's getting going. And I'd be terrified if I'm in the AL West come second half. I think this team's going to start pounding some people. So, go get the Caratini call, basically free. Let's talk about pitching here. You got Colton Gordon. You got Brandon Walter, who I can't wait for that Angel start this weekend. and you got Ryan Gusto, all are starting to put together reasonably good starts. Like, none of, like, Gusto's been good, hasn't like jumped off the page with things, but as a whole, there's some decent options with Houston right now.
So apologies, but all hell is broken out between the Dodgers and Padres. Dave Roberts just pushed Mike Schilt. It's a 5-0 game in the top of the ninth. I know this isn't great podcasting, but Dodgers just went upstairs on Tatis and hit him. Benches have just cleared. It's actually pretty wild.
Yeah, you can't go upstairs. That's a no-no.
Roberts is not happy.
Wow. Well, his guy hit him in the freaking head. What are we doing? Why are we not happy about this?
The managers are the most pissed. Holy hell.
I would be too. All right. That's my guy.
Sorry, everyone. But
and by the way, Bush League, to wait till like the final innings of a 3-game series to do that. Like,
it's
hey,
one out. It's one out in the ninth. That's right. They will not see each other at least for a little while. But
who's due up for the Dodgers is what I want to know, because someone's wearing a freaking rough one coming their direction.
Tatis and Betts drawing at each other. Love this. Yeah, rivalry.
I just turned it on. I thought this was going to happen a day or two ago, so it's good to see now, because Dave Roberts is a baby back bitch. All right. What else you got for us in Houston? I talked about Gusto, Walter, and Gordon. Gordon threw well.
We could just go off the rails, and we can give you 5 minutes about Dave Roberts.
He sucks. Colton Gordon threw well on Thursday night against A's. Against the A's. He gets Philadelphia this week. Brandon Walter gets Chicago this week at home. Gusto gets Chicago. But then next week, you got Gordon on the road in Coors. You got Walter on the road in Coors. So, like, my point being, there's some interesting stuff coming up.
Yeah, I still think like Gusto, Walter, and Gordon are mostly streamers. Like Gordon gets the Phillies, his next start. Walter and Gusto, the Cubs. Like, I'm hesitant there. But the skills, especially for Gordon and Walter, have been really good. And given pitching free agency this year, that works. So I am on board with adding Gordon and Walter. I get these guys mixed up because they're all first names, but I'm on board with adding Walter and Gordon.
Yeah.
I picked up Walter and Tout like 2 weeks ago, and it's been very good. Gusto, I'm a little more streamer dependent.
Yeah. It's all Gusto or nothing with him. I have Walter going as well in a couple of 15s this week. Really looking forward to that Angel start, hoping it doesn't blow up in my face. But on paper, phenomenal matchup for that one.
Mike Schilt's showing some gusto for his team right now.
Because Schilt's got a pair, unlike his opposition there and Dave Roberts. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim has 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Boston, 3 versus the Washington Nationals. It's an Angels team that's starting to swing it well. Mike Trout looks like Mike Trout again, which is great. Adele keeps crushing. Rengifo's waking up. Taylor Ward's swinging it well. Anything of interest for you? Like, Christian Moore hasn't done anything. Anything of interest for you with the Angels?
Christian Moore was the one who I was going to bring up as like a semi-popular ad last week, but just hasn't had enough playing time for me to be able to go there. And I was already concerned just how little experience Moore has, like how short-term he would translate. Rengifo, I don't know. Has Rengifo been hot lately, or is it just the two-homer game?
I'll pull up the numbers. He's actually I pulled him up the other night on the Gene Segura show, but let's just do from June 1st. Let's just do the month of June here for Mr. Rengifo. He's hitting .240, 2 homers, a steal. So I guess it's not great. Right.
So he's done nothing outside of the one game.
Let's shrink it. Let's shrink it here. over the last 10 games, he's hitting .310 with 2 homers and a steal.
Yeah, you're pushing it there. Hey, I love our mascot. I love our mascot.
But, I'm going to protect him at all costs. Like,
yeah, I know you're getting.
Unlike Dave Roberts, I will protect my players. So yes.
Yeah, got Tatis in the wrist, high up in the wrist. Ooh. All right. The other name I was going to throw out, and we mentioned Jorge Soler as a Gene Segura All Star. This is one where you can, and he's been hurt, hasn't played Wednesday or Thursday. This is one where you can get yourself in trouble by keep throwing. Rolling Jorge Soler out there because he's doing nothing for you.
Yep, I agree. Soler is I think I said on the Segura show you could drop Soler if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
If you needed other options, to say the least, man. The more I see this replay, like, yeah, you've derailed me. I didn't have this game on.
I apologize, but
I am getting fired up.
This is an electric moment. It's an electric moment.
All right. Other things in Anaheim, though, not much. Pitching is what it is there. It's kind of up and down. They actually looked good versus the Yankees. And Kenley Jansen's still the dude, but keep an eye on Reed Detmers. As we mentioned, he's pitching phenomenal out of that bullpen. So don't sleep on Mr. Reed Detmers. Seattle Mariners, they have 7 games this week, all on the road, 4 at Minnesota, 3 at Texas. It's 1 lefty and 6 righties. It's all 4 righties in Minnesota. So a heavy right-handed week for Seattle. Ryan, before I give you the floor, I want to bring something to light here. Luke Raley is expected back on Friday for the Seattle Mariners.
Which Luke Raley is a strong side platoon bat, so would fit in quite well as a pickup, first base and outfield eligible. So you like that. I was going to shout out Dominic Canzone because he is also a strong side platooner. But what happens with that playing time when Luke Raley's back? That's what I'm concerned about. So I would prioritize Raley over Canzone, especially if Raley does come back as expected on Friday. The last name I'll just throw out there, I think it's just a super heater, but anytime you have a leadoff man with 7 games, you get interested. That's JP Crawford, we know who JP Crawford is, but has had a really good week. Is just 22% owned in NFBC 12 teamers. So even knowing that JP Crawford won't be this good going forward, the number of plate appearances you get from a leadoff man who plays every day in a 7 game week alone is interesting.
Yeah, he's money. I actually had to drop him in a league recently because I had 2 shortstops I was playing over him. But and that was a 12 team league, not a 15, obviously. But yeah, go get your Crawford. Are we getting rowdy this week?
I don't know. Is Rowdy getting rowdy?
2%. He stole a base this week. What are we talking about? That's good.
Jesus. I need to see that. I didn't know he stole a base.
He stole a base in his last game. 1-for-4, the run scored, and a stolen base, my friend.
We could get rowdy. No, you're right. I guess I'm not giving him enough credit. Power's there. It's 16% barrel rate. So going to play 6 times. So, yeah, you like that.
All right, let's head – or one last question, I guess, as we have here. All the pitchers are back. So that's – oh, never mind. Let's head to Texas. The Texas Rangers, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Baltimore, 3 at home versus Seattle, 1 lefty, 5 righties on tap. Josh Smith is expected back on Friday from his minor hamstring situation. Yeah. He's been dealing with, so hopefully that comes to fruition. Anything else you're seeing here with Texas? Evan Carter's playing well, but he should be – widely rostered by now. He's up to 95%. So anything from Texas?
Not on the hitting side. I was gonna throw out Kumar Rocker. Mm-hmm. Like, came back, looked good, and I think it's been 1 start since he came back, maybe 2, but looks like Kumar Rocker is going to be in the rotation with Tyler Molly on the IL. So that's interesting in a 15 teamer. Was against the White Sox, but June 15th, 6 Ks, 1 walk. 1 walk is huge. In 5 innings against the White Sox. So Kumar Rocker would line up. Who would he line up against? He would line up at Pittsburgh. Seattle. That's this weekend, but then Seattle. So I don't know. A marginal 15-team streamer, but someone who I believe in the ceiling long-term at any time that could click. So I like Kumar Rocker a little bit in your 15s.
I was going to ask, do you like a 2-step Patrick Corbin at Baltimore versus Seattle?
Just going to note, your guy's starting to fade. Your guy's starting to fade.
And what I'm going to add as well.
Jump ship.
Baltimore's are also starting. Their WRC plus is up to 94 versus lefty, so it's not as much of a walk in the park as it once was over the last month, I should say. So definitely keep that in mind. But 15s, I'd still be rolling. I'll say that much. I'd still be rolling. All right, let's head to the National League. The Atlanta Braves, they have 7 games this week, 4 at the Mets, 3 at home versus Philadelphia. 2 lefties and 5 righties. What do you got with the Braves?
The Braves, all I have is, and he was starting to be picked up last week, but Jurickson Profar, I believe it's July 2nd for that, that date. So you know it's not like an injury. Like, you know you are getting him on this date, and it sounds like the Braves are going to hit Jurickson Profar 2nd. So you have to like that. I think this is, I said last week was the time to get Profar really cheap. You're still going to have to stash him for 2 weeks, but I think you pick up Jurickson Profar if he's available in most league formats this weekend.
Yep. No, that is a good point. Sorry, I just saw in our Discord by Dr. Doom. He says, down 5-0 in the 8th, the Dodgers pinch hit for Mookie, Will Smith, and Freeman, and then they plunk Tatis.
There you go.
That's some shit right there. Oh, I can't stand that guy. Well, I want to ask you about the closing situation, though, with Rysel out of the main role for now, given he has a win and he's pitched late in the last two outings he's had. Dylan Lee seems to be getting the attention there. I'm kind of staying away from it all, but any thoughts there?
Ditto. I this is just my lean. I don't know, but I feel like Iglesias will be back in that role at some point.
Uncle Ted is mentioning Didi or Fuentes in the chat. Dude's 20 years old, pitching high A, double A, triple A. He's allowed, I believe it was 21 runs in 39 innings pitched, and he's pitching to give everybody an extra day's rest. I would not go too deep into that. But go for it, Ted. Bid on him on Sunday, please. All right. The Miami Marlins, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three at the Giants, three at the D-backs, one lefty, five righties. Anything in Miami that tickles your fancy?
I like, and I was having deja vu because Dane Myers, I think, got hurt on Monday after I picked him up everywhere and was like, what, we're doing this again? Because I think the first time it was like an hour before Fab, Dane Myers got hurt. But if the injury fortunately seems minor, Dane Myers is back in the lineup. I think Dane Myers is actually pretty good. And so I would recommend Dane Myers as an outfield pickup. And then, I mean, we have to talk about the good doctor, right? Dr. Foucher at three.
He's getting
three saves last week. Calvin Fauché, I should pronounce his name properly. We are professional operation here at Bubba and the Bloom. It does seem like Fauché is at least getting the bulk of saves in Miami. And Miami isn't like awful. I mean, they're pretty bad, but you'll at least get some save ops with this squad. So the good doctor might be back in business.
Yes, I think as bad as it sounds and as much as I hate the Marlins closing situation in general, yeah, the good doctor is back in business. I think that's fair to say, at least for now, just be prepared to jump off that ship again. I'm going to bring up one that's potentially a deeper league-only type play, but maybe eventually becomes 12-team viable. I want to get your thoughts on Jansen Junk on this one. He had an opener in his last outing, 5 2/3 shutout innings with 4 Ks against Washington. He's actually set to start this weekend for Miami. So he's taking that fifth starter's role. Adam Mazur came up, already got sent back down. Junk's looked good in the past. He's got some run right now. Maybe it's more of a watch situation there. But 15 teams probably does have some viability, I'll say that much.
Yeah, maybe some. Yeah, we'll get a look at Junk against Atlanta, I believe, on Friday. Pitched pretty well at AAA this year, 18.5 K minus walk, really good control, which I always, if the control is the one that's driving your good K to walk in the minors, that concerns me a little bit, because good control in the minors could just mean you're going to get destroyed in the majors. But I don't know. I'm not too high on Jansen Junk. Win potential is pretty low with the Marlins. I don't know. I'd put him certainly behind like any of the Astros guys we talked about. I don't know if it's fair to even pit those guys against each other, but I think he's a low end streamer. Junk is.
That's fair. As Scott Burks would say, Junk was a college teammate of Scooble. So,
whoa.
Yes. Very interesting stuff right there. And Michael C., you are correct. All right, let's go to the New York Mets here. They have seven games this week, 4 against the Braves, 3 at the Pirates, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Mets. They're hoping to have Brett Beatty back in full go this weekend, but he's dealing with a groin injury. Mark Vientos is rehabbing, so a lot of questions are going to be put into play pretty soon when it comes to the Mets.
Right, so with the Mets, I have more questions than I have advice, which... I don't know if that's good or not, but yeah, I just wonder, like, just keep an eye on when Vientos gets back, when Beatty's back, how does that, it seems like there are three players for a couple slots once you throw Ronnie Mauricio in there. So just I don't know how the playing time situation is going to shake out. I have a feeling Mark Vientos is still going to be an everyday player for the Mets when he returns. That could change if he continues to struggle, but I think the Mets are going to throw him in there. And therefore I think it's like a Beatty versus Mauricio for last spot there, but we'll see.
Blade Tidwell is coming up to make the start on Friday for the Mets as they're trying to figure out that part of their rotation with Tyler Miguel hitting the IL. That's a revolving door. Hopefully maybe Brandon Spoh comes up, but then Montas is joining the rotation next week against the Braves. So keep that in mind. They've made that official today, even though he's been so bad. He's out of
rehab starts. I was going to say, he's been horrendous.
Yeah, ERA over 12 in his month of rehab starts, but they have nowhere else to go with him. Essentially, it's either he has to have another injury to go back to the IL, or he has to come up and either pitch out of the bullpen or the rotation. So they're going to give him a shot in the rotation. So keep that.
Yeah. Up. This is one though, where like the rehab, it's different than like spring training where guys are established, they're healthy. I don't care about the results for someone coming off injury like Montas and to have to be this bad in rehab. That's not great. So I don't know. And I did have to verify that Blade Tidwell is an actual person when you said his name and
earlier this year.
Yep. He does exist.
Yep. Yes. Yes, he does. All right, let's Philadelphia Phillies. They have 6 games this week, 3 at Houston, 3 at Atlanta, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Makes things tricky for a team that doesn't really platoon much anyways.
Right, nothing on the hitter side. I want to bring up the bullpen.
Yes.
I mean, I put in the Discord today, like I'm a little confused why Jordan Romano lost his closer job. Like he hasn't been like elite, but like he hasn't been that bad. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being biased because I dropped some coin on Jordan Romano a few weeks back, but I feel like there wasn't like a big blow up or like I thought he was okay. But Jordan Romano is 92% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. Orion Kerkering is 15%. That's going to change, I guess, with Orion Kerkering maybe getting the majority of saves. Got the save today.
But him and literally there's been 4 saves. It's gone every other to him and Strong.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem is just you never know what Thompson's going to do. You just never know.
Like, I'd want Kerkering over the 2, but both, I think, are very, very much in play. So, looks like Nick Kurtz had another walk-off home run. Amazing.
Walk-off. Oh, it's been a night of baseball, my friend. West Coast baseball.
And I was so sure that this Reynolds guy was going to hit someone because he could not throw a strike, walk the first 2 hitters without a strike, I'm pretty sure. So, I was ready for he's wild. He can't find the zone. Plunk. But
there's no one left to hit. They're all out. Yeah. They all got pulled.
That was his chance. It was Teoscar and Muncy. Those are your guys to plunk if you're going to. All right, so Kerkerin, Strom. I prefer Kerkerin over Strom with both. Like, honestly, if you could get, like, a cheaper Strom. We've said it with him in the past even because he gets ratios and strikeouts to begin with. Now, if you start throwing in some saves, both are, I think, very live right now. So
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to stay away. Like, I feel like Kerkerin is going to cost some money.
That's why I'd rather almost go Strom for cheaper.
Yeah, I guess.
That's my mindset. All right, Washington Nationals this week. They have 6 games, 3 at the Padres, 3 at the Angels. All righties for the Washington Nationals this week. So it means Luis Garcia plays all week and company. Anything stand out to you that you're interested in? Because I'm not overly excited about a ton.
No, this is a line change team. So you like to look at the lefty strong side platooners and see what you got there. I don't mind Josh Bell, but like, he's not that great. I think I'm grasping at straws for anyone to call up here.
Yeah. Nothing too exciting for me this week. I was hoping for more from Brady House, but it's been a very slow start for him playing every day at third base. Big time prospect. When he got called up, I even mentioned, I think, in the news and notes, like, I'm excited, but we've been excited about a lot of these guys. Now, he does have 2 hits in 2 out of his 3. He's hit 4 hits total. So I guess he's hitting better than I thought. He's walking a ton, but the pop's not there like we expected. It's short sample, but he had 13 home runs without a steal at 304 in AAA this year. So Brady House could be a guy. If you're looking for a third baseman, he should get plenty of run to see what he has, and obviously not rostered anywhere in OC. So Brady House would be a guy that I'd be willing to take a chance on if you so choose.
Cool.
All righty, let's head to the Chicago Cubs. 7 games this week, all on the road. 4 at St. Louis, 3 at Houston. It's 3 lefties and 4 righties with stings. What do you like with Cubbies?
I don't see much here in terms of like a short-term fab pickup. I'm wondering, like, I mean, we did refer to Carson Kelly as a Gene Segura all-star doing nothing lately. Like, might we see Moises Ballesteros come back up at some point in the second half here?
I hope we get Miguel Amaya back before that, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though. Like, this is a situation when Amaya was healthy and Carson Kelly was hitting. We were like, wow, they got 2 really good catchers. So when Ballesteros was called up the first time, it's like, well, is he even going to play? And now, like, the Cubs don't have any catching production at all. So I don't know.
That is fair.
Maybe I go the catcher angle at you and see what happens.
I don't mind it, but I'm not speculating on stashing a catcher.
Yeah,
So, but I get where your head's at to your point.
What's your take on the ninth? Is it still Palencia? I mean, we talked about this last week and not much has changed because Porter Hodge hasn't returned yet. But
to me, it's still Palencia. The dude's been ridiculous since he's been back there.
I know.
If they go back to Hodge, that'd be a Craig Council move if I've ever seen one. So yeah, it makes sense in that regard. But I'm holding my gun since Palencia time for sure.
Yep.
All righty, let's talk about the Cincinnati Reds. They have six games this week, all in Great American. Three versus the Yankees, three versus the Padres, three lefties, three righties. And weirdly enough right now, the three Yankees games look to be lefties. The three Padres games look to be righties if you want to stream the half weeks.
Gavin Lux hit a homer. He was one of our Gene Seguras who hit a homer today. So I don't know if he's back, but could be a decent stream next weekend hitting second against right-handed pitching. Outside of that, man, I don't see much. Noelvi Marte, I believe, did start his rehab assignment.
Tomorrow, Friday. Yes,
Friday. So probably won't play much next week, depending on how it goes. But if you're desperate and you have room to stash for a week, it might only be a one-week stash. Noelvi Marte was looking really good before he got hurt. So I'll just throw that name out there.
Yep, I like the Noelvi call. I think that's a guy to definitely go pick up. Because honestly, these guys nowadays, they only need like two or three games. Like he could be back by Monday or Tuesday.
He could be. Yeah, he could be. Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless it's like a severe injury, they usually only need a couple games and they're back at it. And so as long as there's no setbacks this weekend, we could see Noelvi at worst for the weekend series, but he could show up for that Yankee series too.
Yeah.
All right, the Milwaukee Brewers, six games this week, all at home, three versus the Pirates, three versus the Rockies, two lefties and four righties. Brew Crew, Garrett Mitchell is rehabbing, still a ways away, so don't get too excited there, Ryan.
I remember that guy. Where's he been?
He's rehabbing with Sal Frelick. They're both down there having some fun in Arizona right now. But or not Sal Frelick, the other righty or outfield. Who the hell is it? Blake Perkins. That's the one. Blake Perkins.
That's their fifth.
Which leaves me not a whole lot, is what I'm trying to say when it comes to pickups for them.
Right. I don't have too much on the hitting side. I did just want to shout out Quinn Priester.
Yep.
I don't know if it's as much of a fab thing, but like if you picked up Quinn Priester a few weeks ago, you are doing A-OK. Last few games for Quinn Priester has been awesome. And I think with some, I want to say this was a Corbin Young tweet. I could be wrong. Some changes to the stuff and Arsenal have been very positive for Quinn Priester lately. So don't totally write him off as this being a short-term hot streak.
Yeah, I picked him up in at least 115 this past week. So, yeah, he's definitely a guy to look at. He had some openers going. He actually, I think, made the full start himself this last time, no opener needed. And when you're looking at the Priester, he gets the Rockies, the Road Rockies next week.
That's right. I should have added that.
At Miami the following week. Yes. Go get Quinn Priester, everybody.
That's ideal. That is ideal.
Go jump on that train. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have six games this week, three at Milwaukee, three at home versus the Mets, one lefty and five righties for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team that just can't get out of their own way right now.
Team that cannot get out of their own way. I agree with that. I don't know. Do you have anything on the Pirates? I got nothing. I mean, Joey Bart's back from the IL. Yeah. You need a second catcher, but
yeah,
it's a tough organization just all around.
Poor Paul Skeens and Bubba Chandler. You just go down the list. Oh, Shohei just got plunked in the elbow by Robert Suarez of all people.
Oh, yes, he did.
It hit him in his elbow pad.
That was more shoulder.
It hit him in the elbow pad.
Shohei's waving off his team from going out there. Whoa.
I'm just mad they should have hit like one of the early batters. They got to toss Suarez. Yeah, you got to toss him. Like, there's no debate in this conversation.
You have to. Yeah.
There's no debate on this one.
That was a little high on Shohei.
It was. He wasn't. The thing is, I don't think Robert was actually trying to throw at him. That's the bad part.
That's funny. Shohei's just he's typical Ohtani. He's freaking class act, at least on the baseball field.
Yeah, the best. This hit him in the elbow pad. What are you talking about? Shoulder. Oh no, I did him in the shoulder. You are correct.
Yes.
Let me fix my glasses. I hit him in the elbow.
It was higher than Tatis. It was higher than Tatis.
All right, back to the show. People are loving this probably right now. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 7 games this week, 4 at home versus the Cubs, 3 at the Cleveland Guardians, 2 lefties and 5 righties for St. Louis, a team that the doubleheader is quite interesting on Thursday when it came to roster management of the bullpen. So what do you have for the Cardinals this week?
I don't really have ever anything with the Cardinals. I will. Alec Burleson is catching fire right now, but he is pretty much universally rostered. I think 94% in 12 teamers. So not much you can do there, but I mean, if you're in 10 teamers or daily leagues, like one of mine, Alec Burleson is one you want to ride while he's going. What's with Mason Winn not playing Sunday, Thursday? What's going on, man?
He played in the doubleheader on Thursday. He played at least one of the 2 games, buddy.
Okay. Just, you know, a little worried about him.
Just needs a breather. It's all good. Don't worry about him. Worry about your guy. It'll be okay. But yes, I'd like him to play more often, to your point. That'd be nice. Nolan Gorman still keeps he's still playing a lot, by the way. So throw that out there. Yeah, if you need some pop, I know it's 2 lefties and 5 righties. Like Nolan Gorman, for all the flaws that he has, there's still some very positive moments with the power department with Nolan Gorman. So like if you like Michael Toglia, you should like Nolan Gorman as well. Let's go throw that.
Toglia's hitting. Toglia's hitting. We'll talk about the Rockies in a couple minutes, but yeah.
We'll get to that mess. But yeah. And Michael McGreevy, like I talked about him since preseason as a DC pickup and stuff. I just don't know if they're gonna stick with the 6-man. He was there for the doubleheader today. So if he sticks, I'm interested. I just don't think he sticks is the problem. So I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. NL West, Arizona Diamondbacks, 3 at the White Sox, 3 at home versus Miami. Talk about a schedule from the gods this week for pitching and hitting for both sides of the spectrum on this one. What do you have for the D-backs?
So it's funny. We did body bag Pavin Smith on the Segura episode on Tuesday, and guess what?
He homered.
Exactly. And I honestly, it hasn't been good, but in 15 teamers, I'm willing to go back for Pavin Smith because it's all right-handed pitching and looking at the weekly planner, it is a terrible set of starting pitchers going against Arizona this week, 7.8 strikeout minus walk on average, the starters going against the Diamondbacks. So I might be, at least for 1 week, I might be back in on Pavin Smith after we dogged him. And then I mentioned earlier, you do get E-Rod and Ryan Nelson, who pitched well today. You do get those two starting at the White Sox Monday and Tuesday. So, I don't know. Lukewarm on those streams still.
And don't forget Shelby Miller, everybody. If for some reason he wasn't picked up, he will be the closer. Even though he blew one,
he will be the closer. But yeah, I mean, who else are they going to turn to? And I don't even know if they make a trade. Like, they're falling a little bit in the NL West.
It's going to be interesting come deadline time. Colorado Rockies, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Dodgers, 3 at the Milwaukee Brewers, 2 lefties and 4 righties. The Coors series is 1 lefty and 2 righties. I don't think it's Sheehan anymore. Yamamoto, it's probably Kasperius, Yamamoto, and Kershaw on that one. So where are you at on this Colorado situation?
I do want to shout out, I mean, we mentioned Priester earlier, but Jose Quintana, Priester, and then Chad Patrick are your 3 Milwaukee Brewers who get the Rockies at home away from Coors. So those are streams you want to take advantage of. I was going to mention, I forget exactly who in the Discord. I apologize. I was going to mention Tyler Freeman, projected to have a top 10 batting average the rest of the way by the Bat X, which is pretty wild. And the reason it got brought up in the Discord, it was a higher projected batting average than the other Freeman, Freddie Freeman, by a few points. So I will stand by this Tyler Freeman as a batting average stolen base guy, but I don't know about this week because the schedule is pretty tough. And then, yeah, Michael Toglia is back. 3 homers since he came back. That'll play.
Yeah, I like both of those. Ross Hawk in the Discord that had that one for you.
Thanks.
But, yeah, I'm on board with both of those. Freeman, it always feels like more of a deep league play just for what he's bringing to the table, but he could bring a little more than that. And Toglia, you ride it while it's hot. Like we've said that forever with him. I did Didn't think it'd be like this, but I also want to mention like Moniak swinging well. If you want to stream somebody in these situations, like really well of late, they all swung well in Washington though, so be careful about that. And Hunter Goodman's widely rostered. Just want to give him some love because my God, he is
what a beast. He's right been a now. Beast. Yeah,
unbelievable. All right, those Los Angeles Dodgers, they have six games this week.
They may all be suspended this week, so who knows, but...
Nah, they'll get away with it somehow. three at Colorado, three at the Royals, three lefties, three rights. Hope people enjoy the tongue-in-cheek nature of this. Don't get too twisted on it. What do you got for the Dodgers, a team that, for now, we already know what their lineup will be until suspensions come into play?
Yeah, no, I don't think. I mean, none of their hitters.
No one's getting no one important's getting tossed for fun.
We're joking. I did want to throw out. I never get the pronunciation right. Hyesung Kim. I gave Rob. What is it?
Hyesung.
Hyesung Kim. Mm-hmm. Starting to get more playing time, and even Dave Roberts. For as much as we can trust Dave Roberts, as far as we can throw him, right, Bubba? You're shaking your head.
Amen.
Did say he would like to get Kim regular.
And then pinch it for him with Enrique Hernandez the same night.
Yeah. So there's your Dave Roberts going to Dave Roberts. But I don't know. Outside of that, your Dodgers hitters are Dodgers hitters. And the rotation we talked about at the top with Emmett Sheehan going back down. I do like Kasperius to a lesser extent. Robleski. I believe Robleski got like a 4-5-inning win. It was a 4-inning open and then a 5-inning follow for Robleski. So who that could completely flip next time, but I don't know, could be an option.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I was gonna say Kasperius is one I like. He's got Kansas City this week, so I can get on board there. Joe Reese has his Conforto done. I am done with Conforto. I'm pretty sure most of us are, so yes.
Yeah, I mean, Conforto did start to like tick up a little bit once we start talking about him, but like he's starting to lose play, and that's the immediate cut. Like, has only started two of the last five games Conforto has, and so like it's I think he's done.
Yep, I'm with you as well. San Diego Padres, America's team. They have six games this week, three at home versus the Nationals, three at Cincinnati and Great American Small Park. Four lefties and two righties, two lefties in Great American. What do you have for this team in the San Diego Padres?
Mike Schilt, America's manager.
He should Robert be managing Suarez, the All-Star team.
America's. I don't have anything on the hitting side. Do I have anything on the pitching side? Like I mentioned at the top, Ryan Burgert pitched well tonight against the Dodgers, but I don't think that's happening. So. No, I don't have much.
The important Padres are rostered. I'm not attacking that starting pitching situation. I'm okay being wrong on that one.
Yeah, agreed.
Last but not least, the San Francisco Giants. They have three games at home versus Miami, which is juicy, and then three games at the White Sox, which is great as well. So the Giants and the D-backs just trade schedules, essentially. That is impressive. That is really good. Yeah. All righties on tap for the Giants this week. What do you got here?
So as much as we've made fun of Dom Smith.
Well, don't put we involved in this, by the way. I have been a Dom Smith supporter in the past, and you have shut that down. So, yes.
I have literally zero recognition. I don't remember that at all, but whatever. He's hitting .317, got a homer. Yeah. Good strikeout rate, and most importantly, it's a really good schedule, and it's all right-handed pitching. So you could actually do worse than Dom Smith as a corner infield streamer for this week only. I don't like Dom Smith long-term, but I'll throw his name out there for you.
100%. Yes, I'm with you. Get your Dom Smith while you can. I'll say this, with the schedule that's coming up, Yastrzemski's swinging it again. This last week or so, he's starting to get going. So it's another stream your Mike Yastrzemski weeks, at least in 15s. He'll have some because he's back towards leading off and swinging it well. So Yaz is in play for you along with Dom this week. So two guys you can stream, probably drop the following week, but enjoy them while you can.
Yep.
Other than that, I don't have a lot.
Joe's question in the chat, thoughts on Lee dropping to 6 and 7 in the order.
Jung-hoo it Lee. Sucks. You're going to keep playing him. You're not going to not play him. But yeah, it's not ideal. That's why I said when Yaz leading off now, they basically flip-flop spots. So
yeah,
okay. I think we talked about Lee on Was it Gene Segura or was it a different episode we talked about? It was recently we talked about John Hurley.
We talked about half the league on Gene Segura.
Yeah, there was a lot of depression that took place in that one. But yeah, you got a couple streams there in Dom Smith and Yaz, which I like quite a bit. And we got to do our due diligence for the pitching side of things. I'm not picking up Verlander even in a two-step with Miami and the White Sox. I can't do it. You can if you want. We'll talk about that later. But I did want to mention, if Landon Roop's available, he gets at the White Sox. So go ahead and fire that. I know we were saying the White Sox aren't an auto. Man, Roop's up to 88%. Good God. Did not expect that one to happen.
That's more than I thought.
Never mind. I'll pass. All right. Any final thoughts on this week's schedule? It's weird. I didn't think it was that entertaining, but I have almost two full lists of names I wrote down throughout the show. So
hey, yeah. we always dig up names, some good, some bad, but there are, I think, some decent streaming opportunities from a left-right matchup that we've talked about, but also just teams in bad hitting parks that you can stream pitchers against as well. So,
and that's an important thing. The way pitching's crumbling these days, fighting those streams are going to be more and more important as the year goes on, and looking ahead, as we talked about, like even Jacob Lopez, you don't want him for this week, but the following week's two-step, you could rack up some strikeouts, stuff like that. Look deep thoughts on some of these. And then just check your waiver wire. We don't talk about a lot of the owned guys, but like Edward Cabrera has been great. We were talking Barnes, I looked, he's 83%. So there's 17% of OCs, which means a ton of like 12-team leagues he's available. That's a streamable arm. Look up some of those guys. Just because we don't mention them doesn't mean they're not options. We just kind of try to stick to the lower rostered OC guys throughout the show.
Yep.
All right, let's get to two-stepping, my friend. Let's get to two-stepping for us this week. And it's, we'll see. So I think I already know your answer here. E-Rod gets the White Sox and the Marlins, and you said no?
I will do E-Rod. Yes, I would do E-Rod in 15s this week.
15s, yes. 12s, I have to have no other options.
Yeah, like I don't. Yeah, that's fair. I'm not. It's not a slam dunk by any means. Nothing is a slam dunk, but you gotta love the matchup. That's a top 20 week, according to the starting pitcher planner for E-Rod. So in terms of strength of opponent, I think you throw him in 15s
for sure. Luis Severino at the Tigers at the Yankees.
That scares me. No, I would not. He has not been good.
All right, you're starting Schwellenbach. You're starting Sale. Trevor Rogers, first Texas. First yeah,
let's go. No, I'm not.
Walker Buehler at the Angels versus Toronto. I still don't trust Walker Buehler at all.
I still don't trust Buehler. I think you have to throw it in 15s, but...
15s you do. Yes, you need those pitching numbers in 15s.
Right, just not missing bats. 8% swinging strike. That's really bad for Walker Buehler. He's not the same.
Agreed. Cubs, looks like it's Jameson Taillon at the Cardinals at the Astros.
Yeah, I think you start Taillon against almost everyone at this point.
Yeah, 15s for sure. Most likely 12s, but I could see arguments depending on your roster. Nick Lodolo versus the Yankees versus San Diego. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting pretty much every time out, I believe, right now. Logan Allen versus Toronto versus St. Louis.
Look, I mean, did look decent against the Mariners, but no, this is a tough. The skills all year have been bad, and Toronto is hot right now, and they crush lefties.
You're not starting Herman Marquez. That's fine. Shane Smith versus Arizona versus the Giants. I'd say yes.
I'd say no.
Really? You're taking a step back from Shane Smith, huh?
Yeah, you know, I love the guy. He got me a beer in Arizona this coming fall, but I'll chill out for a week on Shane Smith.
His last start was bad versus the Cardinals, but prior to that, pretty good. All right, Detroit Tigers, Scooble, yes. Houston, Valdez, yes. Royals, Bubik, yes. Angels, Jack Kochanowicz versus Boston versus Washington.
No.
Okay. Hey, he looked great versus the Yankees, by the way.
Did he? I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm writing him off, but I just see a 7% K to walk. No miss bats. Like, he just doesn't miss any bats. I don't know. I'm not doing it.
All right, Marlins, Cal Quantrill at the Giants at the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That's your boy, man. Are you doing it?
I dropped him everywhere this past week. Same. So, no. I followed the sheet. I played him for those two starts. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great.
At least one of them wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Your favorite Chad Patrick versus Pittsburgh and versus Colorado. I think that's a yes.
Yeah. I think you throw old Patrick Chad against Pittsburgh and Colorado. That, I mean, that's pretty much a dream two step.
74% rostered in OC. So get you some, everybody. All right. Minnesota, Bailey Ober versus Seattle versus or at Detroit. You said, yeah.
With extreme trepidation in 15s, I would not start Ober in 12s. And like you said, if you can't start him, is it cut time? It's just nothing. I think he's hurt and he's not the same pitcher that he was the last couple seasons.
Chris Paddock versus Seattle at Detroit. He's pitching better than Bailey Ober, and I still don't trust it.
Right. I probably would not throw Paddock, no.
Paul Blackburn versus Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
No, I don't think Paul Blackburn's good.
Frankie Montas versus Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
No, no. This would be a wait and see type of scenario. Definitely. Montas.
Ryan Yarbrough at Cincinnati versus the A's. Yep.
Yeah, I would do it. Small park's tough, but Cincinnati's pretty bad against lefties. So, and it's the A's at home. So I like that. Yep, I'd do it.
Rangers Suarez at Houston at Atlanta.
Rangers Suarez is an awesome beast, man. It's the Houston start is tough, but yeah, Rangers Suarez is awesome right now.
Keep rolling. Mr. Kolek from San Diego versus Washington at Cincinnati.
No, I'm not doing that.
He's got a 3.59 ERA. Holy crap. But no, I'm not doing it. Seattle, Brian Wu, yes. Luis Castillo, yes. Giants, Verlander versus Miami at Chicago White Sox.
I would throw that in 15s.
15s, I would understand. There's not a chance in hell I throw that at a 12. And I am, again, okay being wrong on that scenario.
This would be first start back?
No, he started yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. That's
didn't
right.
look great.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
my tweet by the second inning was, please put him back on the IL so I can sleep good at night. Because he's just not good.
I'm doing it just to spite you.
15s, I'm fine. 12s, no. Matthew Liberatore versus the Cubs at Cleveland. I'm back. He looked good yesterday, hoping he's getting things right.
That's right. I was pretty concerned about Liberatore, and then looked good his last time out. So I mean, I'm not like back, but
yeah,
I good back enough to throw him in a two step, especially when one of them is against Cleveland, who doesn't hit lefties all that great.
Agreed completely. Taj Bradley at Kansas City at Baltimore. No,
you're still licking those wounds from his last start.
Patrick Corbin at Baltimore versus Seattle. Yes.
You tell me, man. You tell me.
I'd say yes in the 15s. 12s, I'd understand. No, like, I'd take a Patrick Corbin versus Justin Verlander bet.
Nah, I'm not touching that. What is this, 2013? I'm not doing that.
Hey, it's time to take a two old men. So, but yeah, I'd say 15s for sure. 12s, I could, like, I got a coin toss for me. Like, yes, if you need a pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Toronto, they have Scherzer here. I don't even know if he's in the rotation yet. And then Washington, Mitchell Parker at San Diego at LA Angels. No.
I'd think about it in 15 teams. Both San Diego and the Angels have struggled against lefties. Mitchell Parker's not that great, but he at least throws strikes, controls decent. Swing strike isn't awful. I actually would consider Mitchell Parker in a 15.
May God be with you on that one. Well, that'll wrap it up, my friends. Yeah, that'll wrap it up, my friends. Hopefully you have the Lord on your team.
Is Brad Lord still in the... I mean, we talked about Preacher, but what about Lord?
I don't think he's
starting anymore.
He's in the bullpen. He's still there out, though.
The good Lord is...
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. We're wrapping. This has been one of the goofier, off the wall, incoherent episodes this season when it comes to Fab previews. But hope you guys enjoyed it. Yes, I hate the Dodgers, but most of that was just pure. Let's have some fun on this one, folks. No one. I hate seeing guys get hit on purpose. So if we lose like a Tatis or an Ohtani because of this, like that's where
right. That is really bad. That is really bad.
So that's where it really sucks. Like if you're going to hit someone, hit like Miguel Rojas or something. We could work around that. But any final thoughts, my friend, as we wrap it up and have another week of Fab coming up?
As Miguel Rojas catches the biggest stray of all time. No, I don't have much. Enjoy the game Saturday, my friend. Sounds like it will be an awesome time going to see the Red Sox and Giants. So have a good time.
Will do. Will do. First game of the year. So pretty pumped to check these out. Hope you have a good weekend too, my friend. Hope everybody else, all listeners, thanks for joining us tonight. Chat was fun as usual. And we'll be back with you guys next week with Bloom Boards, with Fad Previews and more. Plus, don't forget the Patreon. Patreon.com/BubbaBloom. With all of the stuff you're looking for there to keep you up to date for your fantasy baseball teams. But until next time, Ryan's on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 253. Catch you all next time.